All right. It is good to see you in God's house today, and we are honored you're here with us this weekend, worshiping with us, and we're believing God to speak into our heart, speak into our life, and do amazing things. Now, you know, a few years ago, I actually had back surgery on my back, and, you know, it's taken me a little time to recover from that, and some things about my life have actually changed. I don't have quite the balance I used to have. So oftentimes when I'm walking around, I trip and I fall. And, you know, some people would say it's because I'm getting old, you know, and others would say maybe something happened with that fusion. But they've actually captured a few of those moments I want to show you here today. Over the last few years, here on the side screen, so check it out. All right. So aren't you glad that happened to me and not you? Come on. Yeah. You know, and oftentimes whenever we stumble, we fall, we just really don't want to get back up, do we? I mean, we just want to lay there. You know what it feels like to fall in front of 500 people? I mean, you know. It's one thing to fall in front of your family, but it's another thing to fall in front of, you know, complete strangers and people you haven't, you know, ever known and all that kind of stuff. It can be embarrassing. It can actually paralyze you, and you don't really want to get back up. And really what I want to talk to you about today is getting back up. When life makes you feel like you just want to lay down and you want to quit, I want to give you some inspiration today from God's word to get back up and be everything he has designed you to be. See, the enemy wants you to quit on what God desires for you to be and do. And oftentimes as life comes at us, we move into what we refer to as fight or flight syndrome. In other words, when life comes at us, what we want to do is either run, or we want to fight against what's fighting against us. But God's word says that he can do amazing things in our heart and our life if we begin to learn how to leverage those things that come against us instead of letting those things continually hold us back and keep us down. And what I've discovered is on the Christian journey, on following Jesus, oftentimes what people do is they give up. And let's call it that they quit. They quit on what God wants to do because things begin to happen to them. In other words, they're under the perception that whenever you come to know who Jesus is and you begin to follow him in this earth, that life is going to be easy. But in reality, God's word teaches that actually no, life is going to become very difficult. And as it becomes difficult, what are you going to do with those difficulties? How are you going to leverage those difficulties? What are you going to do whenever things aren't exactly going the way you think they should go? And today we're going to learn from his word. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. And here Paul is speaking to the early church of Corinth, and he's speaking to them about getting back up when you fall down or when life knocks you down, when things aren't going exactly the way you think they should go. And we can learn some great principles from this passage today to apply to our life so that we don't lay down on our journey. Again, COVID. COVID came into the world in 2020, and literally, you know, it really just began to shut people down. Shut them down from purpose in life. Shut them down from being who God had called them to be and living in community with other people. And, you know, the residuals of that just continue to play out in the earth today. But I want to encourage you today, if you know what, you've kind of given up on what God desires for you to do. I want to encourage you today to let this encourage you to get back up and not lay down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll begin with verse 7. The writer says this. He says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, he says, we are like fragile jars. We're breakable. He says, we're breakable beings. We're like fragile jars. We have this light shining in our hearts. We're like fragile jars, but we contain this great treasure. In other words, there's something on the inside of us that is greater than what is happening to us and around us. He says, this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. He says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. He says, we are hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. He says, we get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. He goes on to say in verse 10, through suffering, through the challenges, through the trip ups, he says, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that, everybody say so that, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. In other words, he says, in all reality, as challenges come our way, he says, it's actually opportunity for God to come alive. He says, basically, without a death, there is no resurrection. Without the pain of a cross, there is no power to be exhibited through a resurrection. And he says, through our suffering in our own physical bodies, he says it's opportunity for the power of God to show up and the life of Jesus to shine in this world. Amen. Yes, he says we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this results in eternal life, he says, for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, he says, who raised Jesus, the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is, he says, for your benefit. He says, what's going on in these challenging moments, he tells the church at Corinth, he says, what's going on in my life is to benefit you so you can know who God is. He says, and as God's grace continues to reach more and more people, there will be a great thanksgiving and God will receive what? More and more glory. This is why he says we never give up. This is why we don't lay down. This is why we don't quit. This is why we keep a heart, he says. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Though something is going on the outside, he says, there's also something going on the inside. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. He says in verse 18, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, he says, we fix our gaze. We fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. You know, this passage of scripture is actually encouraging to us who are living in some circumstances and challenges that feel very painful. In other words, it begins to speak to us about what life is really all about. It begins to speak to us about how to get back up and keep moving forward with who God is and what he wants to do in us and through us in the world. He says, though I'm having difficult moments, it's an opportunity to get back up and begin to help others know who God is. And how we do that is basically by changing our focus, not magnifying the problem, but beginning to gaze on the solution and beginning to put our hope in the solution and magnifying the one that gives us hope in spite of the problem. And he says, how you begin to really get through the challenging moments and get back up. Anybody ever been knocked down? He says, how you do that is first and foremost is by exercising the power that is in you. Look what he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile jars. In other words, outwardly, we're breakable. He says, but we got this great treasure in our hearts. We got this great treasure in us. And when things happen, this makes it clear that our great power is from God, and it's not from ourselves. So how do we begin to exercise God's power, the power of the resurrection in our life? I really think that's a good question. And the way we exercise the power of the resurrection in trying circumstances and difficult moments is simply beginning to give God more weight than the problem around us more weight. In other words, this word in the scripture, glory, it comes from a Hebrew word known as kavod, or maybe you pronounce it in the English language, kavod. But what kavod means is to give great honor, give respect, or basically give weight to something. And so how we give God glory and show off his power is by giving his word weight over what we see. In other words, it's not giving the problem the most weight. It's giving what God has said the most weight. And when we give God's word the most weight, then it begins to bring God glory. And so the question is what has God spoken to your heart about your purpose and your future? Because that's the way to give God glory, and it's the way to exercise his power, the power of the resurrection in your life. In other words, when things come into your life, difficult moments come into your life, you say, I'm going to trust, or I'm going to give more weight to what God has said than what I am currently seeing or experiencing in my life circumstances. Look what he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, for our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory, a weight that vastly outweighs the troubles, them, and they produce for us something that's gonna weigh in for us, and it will last forever. And so we get back up when we knock down by life because we give more weight to the one who has spoken to us rather than the circumstances that surround us. I think every Christ follower should embrace this latest Christian song we sing. It says this: it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm really surrounded by you, God. In other words, when we look at the life circumstances and the challenges, it may look like I'm surrounded, but in reality, by faith, I give weight to you, and I know that I'm really surrounded by you. I know that my future is found in you and not my experience that I'm walking through right now. In other words, God, I'm going to give you the weight. I'm going to give you the glory. I'm going to give you, you know what, the respect, the honor. I'm not going to give the challenge or the problem the most respect. I'm not going to put my focus here. I'm going to weigh in and put it over here on what you have said and who you are and what you're going to do in spite of the experience. Give power, life in your life. Without the pain of the cross, there would be no power in the resurrection. Amen. Jesus went to the cross because he's in love with you and me. He gave his life on a cross so you and I didn't have to give our life. However, the Bible says that 3 days later, he exhibits the power of God after that horrific fall, after that burial. He exhibits the power of God through a resurrection. And what I'm trying to communicate is, if you have been tripped up and you feel like the world is against you and coming against you, the way to begin to get back up is to exercise the power of God in your life over the present circumstances by giving God the weight. Amen. Again, there's this notion in our world today that when you follow Christ, life is going to be without difficulties. When in reality, what it does is it creates more difficulties. And that's why Peter wrote in the book of 1 Peter this particular passage. He told the Christians there who were underneath a lot of stress and they wanted to lay down. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange was happening to you." He said, don't be surprised when things come against you, as something strange is happening. He's saying, don't you realize that basically there's an enemy that is against you, though there's a God that is for you? He says, don't be surprised whenever the enemy comes against you when you start following God, because he wants to hold you back from what God wants to do in you and through you. A great example of this is found in our Bible in an encounter that a man had with Jesus in John 5. And in John 5, there's a story about Jesus going into Jerusalem to this pool where sick people, paralyzed, blind, and lame people lay around a pool. And in that particular day, an angel would come and stir the pool. And whenever the angel would stir the pool, the sick person laying underneath, there were five porches with sick people laying all around it. The first one in the pool would get healed. And, you know, it was kind of like a competition to get in the pool. When is the angel going to stir the pool so I can jump in and get ahead of everybody else and I can get my healing? And Jesus comes walking by that pool one day. And He has an encounter with a man who had been laying beside that pool for 38 years, paralyzed. And he asks the man a question. He says, "Do you want to get well?" And I think the man's probably thinking, "Well, Jesus, I hadn't been laying out here for 38 years because I don't want to get well." Jesus already knew the answer to the question. Of course the man wanted to get well. But what's remarkable is he had been laying there for 38 years, and when he put weight on what Jesus said, the healing in his life began. In other words, Jesus spoke words to him. He says, "Do you want to get well?" And the man began to make excuses. "I can't get well because I don't have anybody to help me get into the pool. I can't get well," the man says, go read it. He says, "because somebody else always gets there in front of me." And Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I'm going to help you get into the pool." Jesus simply asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" And he spoke a word to him. He says, "Pick up your mat and walk." The Bible says immediately, everybody say immediately, the man was healed. And he began to walk. He began to walk with the legs that had been paralyzed for 38 years. In other words, you know, he didn't have to get his balance and do all, he got up and he began to walk. But what's amazing about the passage is the attacks on his life began to increase instead of decrease. In other words, immediately he began to walk, and you would think everybody around there would be like, "Wow, that's amazing. That guy's been laying there for 38 years. He just got up and walked and he's healed and it's amazing." But the Bible says just the opposite. Some people of that particular day, because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath, they looked at the man and said, "What are you doing?" They began to come against him for listening to the word of Jesus. And they began to speak to the man and say, "What are you doing walking? What are you doing carrying that mat on the Sabbath?" And the man looks at them, "Well, the guy that walked by told me to get up and walked." In other words, I just believe what he said. I put weight in what he said. I mean, I've been laying here for 38 years and I've been trying to put my weight in that pool and get in first and get somebody to put me in there. It ain't ever happened. But this man comes by, he speaks to me, and I put weight in what he said instead of what I was experiencing. And I'm walking. And he didn't even know who the man was. The Bible says that they said, "Who told you this?" He says, "I don't know. I just believe what he said." See, a lot of us are paralyzed in our journey of what God wants to do in and through our life because we don't believe what God says. We believe what a situation, a circumstance, or a system says over what God has said. In the moment, you know what? You begin to get the power of God in your life is to believe what God has said over what you begin to see. To put more weight, come on somebody, on what God has said, to give him glory. That it's a weighted term. It's give him honor, give him respect for what he has said instead of what you are seeing. The Bible says that the man, he keeps on walking. And I wonder how many of us could learn from that man today versus what we sometimes see people doing in life. Lots of times people give up on God because it didn't work out the way they thought it was gonna work out. But this man, you know what? It didn't work out the way he thought it should work out, but Jesus spoke into his life. He got up and he began to walk. But as he began to walk, he didn't even know who Jesus was. And these people started whispering in his ear. And these people represent how the enemy begins to whisper in your ear and basically say, what are you doing? Sit back down. Because God really doesn't have a plan for your life. The Bible says Jesus comes to him in the crowd. And I want to show you this. This is amazing. Jesus says in John 5, verse 17, the Bible says later, Jesus found the man who didn't know who he was, but he just says, hey, I trusted what he said. I got up. I'm walking. He said, walk. I'm walking. And the Bible says Jesus found him later in the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. What did Jesus mean by that? What Jesus meant by that is, listen, you're kind of given an ear over here to what they are saying. You're kind of beginning to let their voice trickle into your life. I want you to remember you were laying by a pool for 38 years and nothing was working. You were dead in your sin. You were broken. There was nothing you could do to get up. And because you were so desperate and there was nothing you could do to get up and you listened to my voice, guess what? You got up and began to walk. But you need to understand as you are walking, the enemy is always working and he wants to work against you and he wants to put you back down on that mat. But you tell the enemy, I'm not gonna lay back down because I put more weight in what God has said over what you're whispering into my ear. See, how we exercise the power of God is we continually, not just once and then forget about him, we continually let God's word speak into our heart, into our life, into our situation. And when we do, we begin to let that have more weight in our life. And our focus begins to be on the power of God and what he has said instead of what is holding us back from our God potential. See, Paul understood that in life, it wasn't just about here and now and this week and getting through the next moment. It was about living life on purpose and with a purpose. And so he begins to focus on the power of God. And I want to invite you today, if you just want to lay down because it didn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out, let's start focusing on God's power and not what is coming against us. Number two is he doesn't only focus on God's power, he focuses or gives weight to God's purpose. See, God has a purpose for your life. The reason he brings you out of darkness and places you into wonderful light is simply to work in you and work through you, to display his glory, his power, his weightiness in your life and through your life so other people can know who he is also. And so our purpose is to be a display for God, to be a light for God. But can I tell you, we become a light for God oftentimes more in the challenges or in the problems than we do on the mountaintop. Where most people think I can be a light for God on the mountaintop, where God really begins to shine is in the valley. Come on, somebody. And again, I understand this goes against popular thinking and popular, you know what, wanting to believe. But and again, it's not inviting it into your life. It's not like, hey, you know what, I want pain. I want persecution. But Paul understood that in the midst of all of that, he could begin to live out his purpose. And I want to show it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. He says, we know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself, watch this, together with you. Together with you. So Paul understood that the challenges in his life actually gave purpose for his life, and the purpose for his life was to display the power of God so other people could join in and giving God praise, honor, respect, glory, or put their weight in God too. And he goes on to say this. He says, all of this is for your benefit. He says, and as God's grace, as his unmerited favor reaches more and more people, there will be a great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. He says, this is why we never give up. This is why we don't lay down. This is why we don't quit. This is why we don't pull over to the side. This is why we don't throw in the towel. This is why we don't stay on the mat. He says, through our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every single day. He says, what's happening on the inside of us is greater than what's happening on the outside. And he says, it's an opportunity to display God's power, and it's also an opportunity to live out our purpose. That's what a testimony is all about. It's saying, I once was laying on the mat for 38 years. I had no purpose. I had nobody to help me get in the pool. I couldn't get in by the system. I was broke. I was dead in my trespasses of sin. But God walked by. And I don't know why God chose that man on that day, but God walked by and God says, do you want to get well? And in my desperation, I said, God, yes, I want to get well. You know, I've been trying it this way and that way or whatever else. And he said, get up and walk. And so I got up and I began to walk. And my friend, the testimony is talking not so much about the problem, but how God came to you in the problem. And he resurrected your life and he resurrected your purpose. Too many people want to camp out on the problem and magnify the problem. And yes, it was a problem. It could have been a problem in your life. It might be a problem in my life. But God came to me when I was on the mat. And he spoke and I believed. I put weight in what he said. That's what the word believe means in the Bible. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. For whoever believes in him shall not waste away, shall not stay on the mat, shall not perish, but have eternal life. What the word believe means there in that passage is sit down in what God has said about Jesus. Put all your weight on that particular thing. And my friends, so many people are not weighing into the glory of God and giving honor and respect. And God can save anybody on any mat at any time and any given problem. He can speak to it. He can say, get up and begin to walk. But understand when God does this, we're not to stay there on the mat and continually go back and talk about the mat over and over again. We begin to walk with God and display his power and begin to show how he continues to get us through the valleys and take us on the journey. It's the reason we're called sojourners. We're on a journey together. And we're going somewhere together and we believe God together. And together, you know what? We believe that he who lives in us is greater than the circumstances and he who lives in the world and the challenges we face. And so again, lots of times life will make you want to lay down. I'm inviting you not to. I'm inviting you to live by the power of God in your life and live with great purpose. It's always to begin to display the powerful hand of God to others so they can begin to join in with what God wants to do in them and through them. But see, it's not only focusing on your purpose, focusing on the power. It's also focusing on the future. The future's bright, my friend. The best is yet to come. My friend, the word of God that I put all of my weight in, because the word of God is about the person of God. The word of God is a story about how I come, you know what, back to God through Christ Jesus. The story of God, the Bible, the scriptures are teaching us that, you know, outside of God coming to us and doing something in our life and healing our heart and giving us power to get back up and begin to walk, and walking with a sense of purpose in this life, not letting our purpose be, you know, this or that, or, you know, but letting our purpose be about displaying God's glory in all facets. The Bible says that God paints a picture of a future that outweighs any trouble, any challenge, any world power. God paints a picture about a future that outweighs all of those things for eternity. Let me show it to you. It's found there in your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He says, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. He says, for the things we see now will soon be gone. They often fade away, but the things we cannot see will last forever. See, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. In other words, we can have faith in what God has said the more and more we begin to put that in, instead of continually giving more weight to what we see in the circumstances that surround us. And so, again, the Bible says that the future is bright for the believer in Jesus Christ, and we're here for a little while and then we're gone. In other words, there's an eternal life out in front of us. There's an eternal future out in front of us, and God is doing a work, and we got to give weight to the future. We got to give weight to when Jesus is going to return. So many people are just hoping for a better week. But the Bible says we as believers are hoping in the return of Jesus Christ. Man, it's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be a weighty day. It's going to be an amazing day. It's going to be a respectful day. It's going to be an honoring day, because he's going to step in. You know what? And the trouble that we have gone through is going to look minuscule to the weight of his glory and his vastness. And my friend, the Bible says, fix your gaze on that. Fix your eyes on that. Fix your eyes, your gaze. In other words, have a flint-like focus on what is still yet to come. My friend, that's hard, isn't it? Because there's distractions everywhere. There's moments of pleasure. There's moments of pain. There's hills and there's valleys. But to fix my gaze, it means that I set my eyes on that above all things. Because I realize that my purpose in being here for just a little while is to exhibit his weightiness in my life, so other people begin to let him weigh in on their life and give him praise, give him honor, give him glory. And together we begin to make him known to the nations. So, in other words, we exist. We're here to give him glory. And how we give him glory is by leveraging the gifts that he's given us, putting them together with other believers. And together we keep pressing forward. Together we keep on going. We don't let the enemy snuff out the word of God and the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ and who he is. No, we keep moving forward with our gift. We keep you know, making his grace known, it says, to many more people. So there's greater thanksgiving, there's greater praise, there's greater honor, there's greater glory brought to God. Is that a beautiful picture or what? And my friend, I don't know about you, but when I get down, that gives me a passion to get back up. Because I realize that the problem I face today, this week, is here for a little while. But what is still yet to come is simply amazing. And I think what Paul is doing is he's inviting you and me into what he's experiencing, which is the glory of God in his life. You know what? Growing and beginning to exhibit what the glory of God's designed to exhibit in the world around us, that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time. It starts with Jesus speaking to you personally in the deadness of your sin and beginning to follow him. And the question is, do you want to stay on the mat or do you want to get up and walk by the power and purpose and with a bright future? The choice is yours by faith. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for the ability to get up and walk. God, to begin to walk by the power of your spirit in our life. And God, if there is one here today that the enemy has paralyzed in their journey of bringing you glory, God, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They would recognize the reason Jesus came is because we were all dead in the trespasses of sin. And without the healing power of Jesus and the word of God coming into our midst and speaking into our heart and speaking into our life and us putting weight on who he is, God, there is no salvation. So God, I pray today if there is one here today that has never put their faith in the love that Jesus exhibited on that cross and the power of his resurrection, today would be the day they begin to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray today we as a church wouldn't give more weight to the problems and challenges, but God, may we give more weight and glory and honor to you and praise to you about what you're doing in our life and through our life in spite of the circumstances. And God, may we keep walking to your voice, keep listening and surrendering to your amazing power. God, living with great purpose and make you known among the nations. God, may we be a church that exhibits you together to our community and begin to focus our eyes on what is still yet to come. Jesus, as you're preparing for your great return, I pray our heart would be connected to that. Because Jesus, you're not coming the second time as a servant, you're coming the second time as a warrior. And Jesus, I pray today we would surrender our heart to you, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and we would give you praise, we'd give you honor, we would give you glory with our life. It's in your name we pray. Amen.